tells us that if we will simply confess our sins, that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to confess them. He wants us to ask Him for forgiveness. Now let's look at another scripture. Proverbs 28, verse number 13 tells us, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So if you'll try to hide your sins and you try to cover them, you will never prosper. But if you will confess and simply ask God to forgive you and forsake those sins, He will have mercy upon you. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Godly sorrow, that is a sorrow that you are truly sorry for sins that you have committed. That works repentance to your salvation. If you're truly sorry for the sins that you've committed, that will work to your benefit because you will receive the rest of the plan by simply having a true sorrow. But there is a sorrow that is of the world that works death. That is a sorrow that simply says, "I'm sorry that I got caught." Not that I'm sorry that I sinned or I'm sorry I did wrong, but it was just simply, "I'm sorry I got caught in my doing wrong," and going back and sinning and doing those things all over again with no choice to forsake those sins, but simply to go back to them. True repentance is a godly sorrow. It is a truly being sorry for sins committed and a decision to forsake those sins. So now let's look at the second step. That is of baptism. Baptism. A lot of people want to say today that baptism is just something that you could have if you want it. It's just an added blessing. It is not essential to salvation, is what they say. But I'm going to give you scripture in the next few moments that will show you beyond the shadow of a doubt that baptism is essential to one's salvation. It is not only if you desire, but you must be baptized in order to make it to heaven and be born again. Mark 16 and 16. Scripture said, the Lord speaking, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." That is a matter essential to salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved is part of salvation. That is the same word, interchangeable. So you must believe and be baptized. Now also another scripture proving baptism is essential to salvation. 1 Peter 3, verse number 20 and 21. "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Notice there, Noah and his family were saved by the water. Water was a destructive force that wiped out the whole face of the earth. But there were eight souls that were saved by that water. The same way the Bible says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." In other words, baptism is a part of your salvation process. You must be baptized in order to be saved. Now let's look also at Matthew 28:19. Commission that the Lord gave to His disciples. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So this was a commission. This was a command by God for them to go forth and teach and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now what we want to determine now is, what is the name? There has got to be a name that we are needing to baptize in. He gives us the reference here in which Acts 2:38, Peter already preached the kingdom message, which simply was repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. There is a doctrine today that simply says, a Trinitarian doctrine that says that there are three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. But that is a false doctrine. That is not the truth. What happens is, what we want to find out is, we want to find out what is the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost, and the name of the Father, according to this Scripture. The Lord told us now to go baptizing them in the name. We want to know the name. If you'll turn with me, Matthew 1 and 21, Scripture says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now his name was to be Jesus. She shall bring forth a son. Now the son's name we know is Jesus. Now what is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Father? In John chapter 5, verse 43, the Lord Jesus speaking, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not." If Jesus came in his Father's name, and his name was Jesus Christ, they're synonymous. The Father's name was Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son's name was Jesus Christ. Let's look at another scripture, John 10 and 30. He said, "I and my Father are one." In other words, they were the same individual. Only one was spirit and one was flesh. The spirit dwelt within the flesh, the body of Jesus Christ that was birthed by Mary. John 10 and 38. "But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Jesus was saying the Father's in me and I'm in him. We're one and the same. Go on to further illustrate. John 14:9. Jesus saith unto him, speaking of Philip, when Philip asked to see the Father, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" In other words, he was saying, "Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're one and the same. There's no difference between us." He went on and to say in this scripture in 1 John 5 and 7, says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." They don't agree in one, but they are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word was Jesus Christ. It was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now let's find out the name of the Holy Ghost. John 14 and 26. Name of the Holy Ghost. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Now that's Jesus speaking. "Whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And let me go over that again. 1 John 5 and 7. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are one. They were simply three titles. They were three roles that were performed by the one eternal Spirit of God. He was God the Father in creation when He spanned the heavens and the earth. He was God the Son whenever He was in flesh and He hung upon a cross. And now He is Holy Ghost in activity dwelling in each of us. They are three manifestations of one eternal Spirit. That's why in Colossians 2 and 9 through 10, the Bible says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now, "For in Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost bodily. And you're complete in Him." That's why Peter said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because you would be complete when you're baptized in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now let's go back, and I want to further illustrate baptism in the name of Jesus Christ with the Scriptures in the book of Acts and show you everywhere that they were baptized in the book of Acts and how they were baptized. If you remember, in Acts 2:38, Peter told them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Also in Acts chapter 8, let's look at Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 14. Scripture reads, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So we see here, The church or the people at Samaria were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not Father, not Son, not Holy Ghost, but in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Remember, repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So this is what the city of Samaria received. Now if you'll look also with me in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man, Caesarea, called Cornelius. This man had prayed and his gave alms to the Lord. And his alms and prayer had come up to God as a memorial. So the Lord sent a man by the name of Peter to expound to him the way of truth and what he needed to do to be saved. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 tells us that while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Notice verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So here we see that they were baptized in the name of the Lord. If you have a discrepancy about the baptism in the name of the Lord, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 5, we'll see what is the name of the Lord. Acts 9 and 5 says, let's look at verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? He asked the question, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So here we see the name of the Lord is Jesus. When Peter commanded that day for them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's look also at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, another portion of Scripture in the book of Acts that shows how people were baptized. Acts 19, verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So here we see Paul came across the disciples of John the Baptist, and he began to explain to them. First of all, he asked them, have they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? There is more to salvation than simply believing. That's the first step. You must receive the Holy Ghost. And then he went on to ask them, unto what then were you baptized? How were you baptized? They said, unto John's repentance. Paul told them that was the wrong way. They should believe on the one that would come after John the Baptist, which was Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. And as they received the Holy Ghost, they were speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Now, these are several scriptures in the book of Acts as they were going establishing the churches that they received the Holy Ghost and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, nowhere in the Bible was anyone baptized any other way than in the name of Jesus Christ. You'll never find one place in the Scripture that anybody was ever baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Because the Lord, whenever He spoke those words in Matthew 28:19, He told them to go baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That name we know is Jesus Christ. You'll never find in the Scripture a baptism that took place any other way than in the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew 18:16 tells us that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, in order for that to be established, you must have two or three witnesses. In this scripture, the Lord spoke in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's the only place you'll ever find that baptismal phrase, which the world uses so frequently today, which is totally unscriptural. Totally unscriptural. Now, Matthew 28:19 uses that only one time, but we have many references which I've given you, and I'm fixing to give you several more references to the name of Jesus Christ, baptism. And so we find that there's only one place with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Many, many places, more than two or three places where Jesus Christ was the baptismal formula. So the word must be established upon the name of Jesus Christ. Let me make a statement here. Matthew 28:19 is the only verse in the Bible to use the baptismal phrase in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. While many verses repeat the formula in Acts 2:38. Matthew 28:19, this is very important, is the more indirect passage which we interpret in light of the more direct scriptures in Acts. Now let's look at more baptismal scriptures. If you'll look in Romans 6, verse number 3 through 5. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. Bible says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be also in the likeness of His resurrection." The Roman church were baptized into Jesus Christ. So here they were not baptized into the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's look at Galatians 3 and 27. Paul writing to the church of Galatia, he says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So they were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. And when they did, they had put on Christ. Now also Colossians 3 and 17, Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." So baptism is a word you're pronouncing over them, and baptism is a deed, which also you're performing an act, and we're to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. A lot of people today, denominations, they'll want to heal in Jesus' name, cast out devils in Jesus' name, raise the dead in Jesus' name. But when you ask them about baptism in Jesus' name, they want to call you a heretic. They want to call you off the wall and call you unscriptural. But Scripture here tells us to do it in word or deed, everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it's very important. Now also, Acts 4, verse number 12, this proves a very important point here. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation doesn't come in any other name. That's why salvation takes place in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for the total forgiveness of your sins. Without the forgiveness of your sins, you can't make it into heaven. Sin don't enter heaven. So your sins must be remitted, and there's only one name that remits sin. Let me throw this out. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." So the name of Jesus Christ is where the blood is applied in our lives and washes over our sins, because the shedding of blood takes away the sins. It removes the sins. And when you're buried in the name of Jesus Christ in the burial waters of baptism, you have the blood applied in your life and for the remission of your sins. Now let me ask you something. Does the baptismal formula really matter? Does the baptismal formula really matter? I'm going to make a few statements to show you the importance of baptism. Number one, the Bible places so much importance on water baptism, it should be exactly the way the Bible teaches it. If we're going to live by the Word of God, we need to follow it exactly the way it is. It is of no private interpretation, but exactly the way the Bible teaches it. And baptism is taught to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Second of all, we should follow the example of the first apostolic church. We should follow their example. Christ began building His church upon the revelation that Peter had, so we should follow that to this day. Third thing, tradition is an inadequate substitute for biblical teaching. Tradition, that is man's ritual, man's opinions. The Lord condemned the Pharisees for having tradition. And it made the power of God to no effect in their life because they had override the power of God by their tradition. They did it the way they wanted, the way they desired. Tradition is a very inadequate substitute for biblical teaching, the way the Bible reads. Number four, obedience to God's Word will cause us to follow it exactly how the Bible teaches it. If you refuse to do it, it's disobedience. It's disobedience because you know to do good and you do it not. To him it's sin, Scripture tells us. So when you know it's in the Word and you don't obey it, you become disobedient to God and His Word. Number five, Paul had to rebaptize the disciples of John the Baptist because they were baptized with the wrong formula. They were baptized unto John's baptism, which was unto repentance. But there was a greater way now. There was a better plan that God had provided. And that was in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And Paul that day rebaptized the disciples of John. Number six, baptism is for the remission or forgiveness of sins. No other name remits sins. No other name does away with sin. No other name remits and forgives sins but the name of Jesus Christ. Reference Acts 2:38 and Acts 4:12. Let me ask you this. Why would anyone hesitate to take on the name of the one who died for them? That being Jesus Christ. Also, the infilling of the Holy Ghost is the third step that the Lord tells us in the new birth experience that we are to receive to be born of the Spirit. Acts 2:38 promises you the Holy Ghost. When you perform the first two, repentance, asking forgiveness, turning away from your sin, and then you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, it promises you the gift of the Holy Ghost. How will you know that you received the Holy Ghost? Well, Acts 2 and 4, on the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room, and as they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. So here they spoke in tongues. Acts 8 and 17, Bible says that they had received the Holy Ghost. Bible is in this passage of Scripture does not come out and say that they spoke with other tongues, but it does say that there was a man there that day by the name of Simon. And he was a sorcerer, had fooled many of the people. And that day as the Holy Ghost was poured out, he saw something taking place that day in which he desired to have. And as he wanted it, he went to the Apostle Peter and he told him. And when Simon, verse number 18 in chapter number 8, Scripture says, and when Simon saw something that day. He saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. So, I'm sure Simon would not have offered money for a simple confession of faith, or for a simple accepting and believing the Lord Jesus Christ, in which there's no outward display. This man that day saw something powerful. He saw something taking place that he wanted the power also. As the apostles laid their hands on those people's head that day as they received the Holy Ghost, something supernatural was taking place, and he saw it. That's where the sound, you remember in John 3, verse number 8, when the Lord said, you'll hear a sound. And so it is everyone that's born of the Spirit. That day, Simon not only saw, but he heard a sound. He heard those people speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Acts chapter 10, household of Cornelius, when they heard them speak with tongues, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. That's what happened when they received the Holy Ghost, the household of Cornelius. Also Acts chapter 19, I just read for you, that the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues. That shows that whenever they received the Holy Ghost, there was a supernatural sound, a sign that came forth, and evidence that they had received the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:22, the tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that don't believe. So it's a sign. Also in Mark 16 and 17, Jesus said in the commission, He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So this was a sign of all believers to come. The Lord said they would speak with new tongues. So there is more to it than just believing. Let me ask you a few questions. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How were you baptized? And what would you tell someone if they asked you, what must I do to be saved? Scripture reveals very importantly to us what we need to do to be saved. That is simply in the verse of Scripture in Acts 2:38, which is a fulfillment of John 3:1 through 8 of being born again. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is God's plan for this New Testament that we're living in, the dispensation of grace. God requires us to be born again. That is, we are to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, forgiveness of our